want to say one last thing about how we do it. One way we do it, I think we know. We learned 30 years ago from the civil rights movement, from the black movement and the Latino movement, that you can't have a movement that's racist and have a movement that is congenial to and empowering to its members, and particularly its members of you know, racially oppressed communities. You can't do it. It's hypocritical. It won't have good politics in those areas. It will not lead those constituencies to say. And then the women's movement taught the same thing. You can't have a movement that is sexist in its internal division of labor. You can't have one that has Jim Crow relations. And you can't have one that looks like the Playboy Club, right? Or a professional football team. You can't have one that embodies sexist norms and have it be conducive to people staying. Well, I think there's another line. I think both of those things are true. And I think to a considerable extent, that message has been heard and people try to deal with it. It's hard. It takes time. It doesn't happen overnight. But much, much progress has been made. I promise you, I was there then and now, and much progress has been made even though there's more still to make. But there's another axis on which this same issue arises. If we have movements whose internal structure is like that of the institutions we're opposing, is class divided, has people who give orders and who take orders, have people who have corner offices and people who do shit work, has people who get higher income and people who get lower income. If our movement organizations essentially are barely distinguishable in their list of offices, in the characteristics of those positions from the ones that we oppose, just like if it's Jim Crow, Jim Crow, sexism, sexism, it will not be conducive to working people. It will not be empowering to working people. And it won't be all that uplifting. And it won't embody something that gives us a belief that there really is an alternative and makes us stick to it. So it seems to me we have to address that too. I think it's true of culture too. The culture of the movement once upon a time was totally macho. It was totally white. And it embodied the worst of that. It embodied the sexism and the racism of that. And there's been an effort to deal with it, but it hasn't been totally successful, but it's progressing. But there's also a sense in which our movement also feels like the Yale Law School, not like a working class pub. It values things that law students value, that people who want to fill those slots in society value, and it disparages things that working people value. Those ills are also a powerful impediment, I think probably a much, much more powerful impediment than the riot club or the gun, to our building a movement that can win. And that's a lucky thing, because it's in our power to do something about these obstacles to growth. And I think when we do something about these obstacles to growth, we will have still larger, still stronger movements that can win a series of changes, that can develop a movement structure, and that can not only make people's lives better in the present, but can lead to fundamentally different institutions, to revolutionarily different institutions in a future that needn't be all that far off. Thank you.